This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hi, I'm Matt Jackson. This is my brother, Nick Jackson. We're the mother effing Young Bucks, and you are listening to the New Japan Purocast. Suck it! Super kick partake to sweet me. All right, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan Purocast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald. It is Sunday, October 2nd, 2016, and Damon, you know what that means. It is time for King of Pro Wrestling.
It's a big show, right? We're all excited, ready to rock and roll here in the month of October. It is Sunday, as Colin has mentioned, so we're all amped up and ready to give you the best that show we possibly can, as always. But we are in a little bit of a lull period, right? Coming off of these destruction shows, which, quite frankly, Colin, didn't do so hot when it came to business. Business, as Dusty would say.
They sold a lot of merch at these shows, I've been told. But...
Yeah, that's what I was reading in the Professional Wrestling Style Observer, where like the body count per merch dollar spent was like $35 a head or something like that, which is pretty nice when it comes to merch. I'm sure it's all Naito stuff and Los Ingobernables. Didn't do well at the gate, at the box office, these destruction shows. The, what was it, the Yoshihashi, Kenny Omega, kind of, I don't want to say flopped, but in a building where they were consistently drawing, what, 5K?
Yeah.
High fours, fives. What, they pop out, like two and high change?
I believe so.
Yeah, so, you know, look. What are you going to do? Obviously, nobody was buying the Yoshihashi bit, right? And I do you put some of that blame on Kenny Omega, too, being on top?
I don't know.
It just wasn't a sexy main event. Let's be truthful.
And I think that the general consensus about these destruction shows is that they were just kind of thumbs in the middle. And splitting them into three separate shows really hurt it.
I agree, man. Like we said this last week. That was just a, you know, I guess you kind of, here's the one of the things that, I just don't know about New Japan and how they do what they do. It seems like they leave people kind of floating around this middle ground, this middle card area, and then, you know, instantaneously shoot them up into, you're carrying a show. Like Yoshihashi, right? Yoshihashi was expected to draw that house with Kenny Omega, and these are two guys that, you know, even this show we talked about how, you know, the after Kenny Omega, you know, did his Bullet Club one-ups at the post-dome show, you know, New Year Dash. I couldn't think of what New Year Dash was. I was like, what the fuck is the name of that show again?
It's the Raw after Wrestle Kingdom.
New Year's Dash. My bad. I'm sorry. You know, after that, you know, he kind of, you know, sat around, and Tanahashi being hurt. Again, we went through these a million things, but you know, Kenny Omega cooled off. Yoshihashi, he's always been, you know, the lesser half of Chaos. Yeah, so it's just, you know, I think sometimes the New Japan just thinks it could flick a switch and things can happen for people. And I don't know if that's actually the case. they got to do a little bit of a better job with that. We always talk about building up new stars, but it's a little bit more involved than just flicking a switch. Again, Yoshihashi gets the big win over Kenny Omega at G1, but I don't know. It just didn't feel like maybe it was the right time, and I think the gate kind of exposed that.
And I think that we can all agree that the Kobe show was probably the best, because that Naito and Michael Elgin match was excellent.
Yeah. I mean, it was an outstanding match. And I think everybody going into it, they're not dumb. You know, these people don't just show up to shows just because pro wrestling's on the marquee. You know, they kind of want to see, they know when things are worth their yen or their dollar, if you will. You know, they're not dumb. They're going to go to shows that are worth their hard-earned money. They're not just going to show up just because New Japan's there. Give them something. I don't think these shows gave them much of anything besides Elgin Naito. That's a sexy match. And you know, it's kind of, you know, I think people smelled the title change there. Again, they're not dumb. They saw what was happening. You know, and the people that go to these shows at this point, they're smart fans, you know, they're knowledgeable fans. These aren't casuals who are just showing up. And again, maybe that's the problem. You know, there's only so many smart fans, and I don't mean that in the newslettery, you know, solid pro wrestling fans. You know, people who are going to listen to this podcast are solid wrestling fans and have fantastic taste, by the way.
If we don't say so ourselves.
Yes. You know, so it's, you know, the fans that are going to these shows, you know, you're averaging 2,000, 3,000, 1,500, 2,200. You know, that's consistently a solid base of fans that consistently and constantly go to shows. It's not like New Japan's drawing the casual fan, or it doesn't feel like they are. And I think that's pro wrestling in general. You know, the people who are the hardcore supporters of the product, especially in Japan. You watch Japan shows, big Japan shows. You watch All Japan shows, and especially the ones that are like broadcasted at Cork. And I'm telling you what, you can pick out the same fucking people at these shows from show to show, right? They're hardcore fans. You know, there's the one guy watch the shows when the weather starts turning, you'll see the one guy in the camouflage jacket, you know, kind of an older guy.
I think like, Eric had a conversation with him when he was in Japan.
Yeah, he's at every show. There's a younger couple that are at every show that I see. It seems like it's the same people. Now those people are showing up because pro wrestling's on the marquee. But even then, I'm sure that there's shows that they're hand waving. I know I just went on to a huge rant here, but my point being is this: these destruction shows were a mistake, three of them. Right? When truth be told, it could have been into one. They rolled the dice. It didn't work out. I don't think you're going to see three come next year.
Well, we are going to be giving our official preview and predictions for King of Pro Wrestling, which is set to take place October 10th, which is a Monday. But
fuck, that stinks.
Yeah.
For us, anyway.
It does.
I mean, schedule-wise, it's died. Ugh.
Yeah, recording-wise, we're not sure when the official review for that show is going to come in. However, there is a Road 2 show that is taking place before that on October the 8th, which is Saturday. Now, as of this recording, this show is not scheduled to be on NJPW World. It's going to be on TV Asahi. However, I think that looking at the card, it's pretty decent, and I think that it would be worth putting on NJPW World. And I'd just like to talk about some of the matches on this card. We have a main event here. It's an 8-man tag. We've got Jay Lethal, Kushida, Michael Elgin, and Tanahashi teaming up to take on Bushi, Evil, Sanada, and Naito. Mm-hmm. That's the main event for that show. The never 6-man tag titles are on the line. We've got the champs, Finley, Ricochet, and Kojima, defending against Roppongi Vice and Will Ospreay.
Okay. Not bad.
We've got another 8-man tag with the Briscoes, Ishii and Goto taking on the Gorillas of Destiny, Bad Luck Fale, and Kenny Omega.
That first team's kind of weird. What was the first team again? Goto and Ishii and who?
Yeah, Goto, Ishii, and the Briscoes.
Huh. That's a weird. And the Bullet Club.
G.O.D., Fale, and Omega.
Okay. I for whatever reason, I like the oddity of that first team, the Briscoes and Goto and Ishii. I don't know why that really just sparked my interest.
There's also an interesting tag match here. We have the team of Tiger Mask and Yuji Nagata taking on Red Dragon.
Hmm.
That could be fun.
Yeah, I think Tiger Mask is obviously dropping the fall there.
We've got
that could be fun. I like the Nagata, you know, the idea. I'd like to see Nakanishi and Nagata. I know it's shocking for me to say that again. I'm going to see that again. I thought that was a pretty decent match.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't mind seeing that again. Tiger Mask in there. Tiger Mask kind of lowers it for me, to be truthful. It makes it a little bit less appealing. All right, next.
We've got a six-man featuring the team of Taguchi, Juice Robinson.
Is there a single fucking match on this show?
Yes, there is, actually. It is okay, a Young Lions match.
Is that really? That's the only singles match?
That is the only singles match on this Road 2 show.
For fuck's sake.
But the six-man, again, we have Taguchi, Juice Robinson, and Yoshitatsu taking on Adam Cole, Bebe, Yujiro Takahashi, the Tokyo Pimp, and the Bone Soldier, formerly known as Captain New Japan. That is what he is officially called now, Damon, the Bone Soldier.
Yeah, well, you know, it was like on their t-shirts and shit, Bullet Club, right? Bone Soldier.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm going to be truthful. I don't give a flying fuck. I was shocked when I saw some stuff on the classic board. But by the way, it's probably the only place I go on the internet at this point.
You're best off.
Yeah, probably. I was kind of weird seeing everybody. I don't want to say losing their shit over Captain New Japan going heel, joining the Bullet Club. I'm going to be truthful. Okay, I don't care. I mean, it gives them something to do, I guess, right? It gives a little bit more meaning to the rest of their year. I don't give you that much, but I mean, there were people that were like I'm exaggerating, losing their shit. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it created an unusual buzz, and to me, that was the moment right there where you can pinpoint when
me no longer watching New Japan Pro Wrestling.
I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say
this has been a nice run, Colin. I'm out. Bye.
When the Bullet Club officially jumped the shark.
Listen.
Hit him with the hind.
Yeah, people are like, well, the Bullet Club's resurgence, and for the people who said they were dead, come on. I've said it a trillion times. We're going to say it a trillion and one. The day that the merch stops moving is the day that they're going
to
end it.
Well, rumor has it that they're bringing in Horace Hogan to join the Bullet Club.
You used that line last week, Colin. You can't double dip. You can't double dip NWO references.
Did I make a Mongo reference last week?
I don't know if it was last week, but I know
I'd love to sneak one of them in.
I know you did. I think maybe you gave me a Mongo reference via the text.
I love a good Mongo reference.
Yeah. I mean, remember he had this stupid little dog?
Pepe. And he wore a sombrero. He
wore a sombrero. Oh, God. What a horrible, horrible. And he was a horseman.
He was. He was a member of the Four Horsemen, the most illustrious faction in the history of professional wrestling. Think about that one.
Yeah, you want to talk about the NWO and how the Bullet Club has become the, you know, late run NWO, where it's like everybody and their grandmother became an NWO member. And it's pro wrestling. We're going to beat it to the fucking ground until the money stops rolling in. So
there's two more matches on this card, by the way.
Oh, okay. I can't go on my Bullet Club rant anymore.
Well, let me just...
Because I was literally going to blame every one of our listeners for supporting Bullet Club. It's your fault. You're the cause of this.
Let me finish reading this card here. Very good. There's one more six-man tag featuring Henare, Honma, and Makabe taking on Jushin Thunder Liger, Manabu Nakanishi, there he is, Damon,
right,
and Hiroyoshi Tenzan. And then the opening Young Lions match features Kanemitsu versus Kawato. I can't remember the last time I have seen either of them wrestle.
Well, yeah, Kanemitsu, we just saw on the last show with Tenzan, tagging with Tenzan, right?
That's true, but Kawato?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're battered and splattered on some shows, and you know, most of the times you don't see them. Hopefully, but you're seeing them more and more, right? He was supposed to be on the last show, but it got fucked up with Seidel.
Right.
When Seidel decided to not show. What, I mean, I can't say decided.
Any word on that, by the way? Any updates on your end?
Nope. I got nothing. I got zilcho on Matt Seidel.
I'm surprised, too, that there hasn't been more talk about that, because he has a multi-year contract with New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard anything, but I would imagine that that's in jeopardy. I don't know what happened at that for him to not make the trip, you know, when it came to customs. Like, I don't know that situation. Like, and I'm not going to speculate that it was, you know, I've heard everything crazy from, oh, you got busted at the border. Pump the fucking brakes. I mean, just because the guy goes on a podcast or two and just because it's commonly known that the guy might enjoy.
He likes the herbs.
Okay, let's go out and say, all right, I don't think we need to walk on eggshells with that. I think he's comfortable in people saying that, yeah, the man uses the marijuana. The marijuana cigarettes, Colin. but, you know, let's not get into this crazy talk about, you know, how he was dog, drug sniffing dogs, you know, were gnawing at his pant leg, you know, Dennis the Menace style. Did I just make a Dennis the fucking Menace reference? I guarantee you. Let me ask you, I guarantee you, there's probably four people who have actually sat and listened to this show that have actually sat and watched an episode of Dennis the Menace.
I don't think I've ever seen an episode of Dennis the Menace. I only remember the movie with Walter Matthau.
Nah, I'm talking the original black and white sitcom. Yeah, no, four. I'm setting the number at four. If there's more than four, I'll do a wacky radio bit. No. You've never seen the show because you're 20, for Christ's sake. When I was a child, this show was in syndication and reruns. Mr. Wilson! You fucking... Leave me alone, kid.
Well, anyway, that is the card for this Road 2 show in Niigata.
It's now, not great.
Okay, I will say this, though. If they do end up putting this on NJPW World, we will be here to review it next week.
Yes, let's put it this way. I'll probably wind up watching it regardless, right? So if it's on, what is it, Asahi?
Yeah, TV Asahi. You have access to that.
I do.
And the rest of us don't.
Well, listen, I spend a lot of money for that fucking access. And a lot of time and effort in trying to get this piece of shit thing to work. It's not consistent. It's not like I just flick a switch and it's on. I turn it on. It's like, ugh, buffering.
It's a roll of the dice.
It really is. Yeah, it's a $400 roll of the dice. Are you kidding me? But I'm a dedicated person. No, listen, there's nobody that's going to sit here and tell me that I don't support pro wrestling. The only reason
Absolutely
I got this fucking
not.
Box, I can't say the only reason I got this box. I got this box because
porn.
Wrestling. No, there's no porn. No, it's not like I can get like it's not like a like a cable descrambler box. Remember you used to get like the DirecTV card and it used to have this look, maybe I should be quiet.
Oh, I remember back in the day you used to get those boxes where HBO would come in and
yeah. Or you knew the guy who worked at the fucking cable company, be like, hey Larry, hop up on your ladder and flick a couple switches and get me some Showtime.
Larry Nakamura.
he was the man in my neighborhood. No, it's not like that. It's you know, and you got to, you know, they're on the other side of the world, and sometimes, you know, the communication's a little off. And anyway, the long and the short of it is this. I'm going to watch this show when it's on.
And I think that the card is decent enough to put on NJPW World. I don't know why they wouldn't. I don't know what the reasoning behind that is.
worst shows I've been on. What's the main event again, Colin?
The main event is Jay Lethal, Kushida, Elgin, and Tanahashi taking on Los Ingobernables de Japón.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of talent there. That should be pretty decent, but again, I'm so fucking tired of the multi-mans with Los Ingobernables. Enough. Ugh, it seems like every show we see one of these.
I want to see them chase these Never Trio titles.
Yeah.
Why don't they do that? Why don't they have Evil and Sonata and Bushi go after these trio titles? Why not?
Well, because, you know,
I think that would be more interesting than having these random Fire Pro Wrestling teams.
Yeah, but people like that, though. People really enjoy it. I mean, there's time. I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of over the Never titles. It's gotten crazy ridiculous. I don't. And again, they're Never six man titles. Why should I be giving a shit? But it is. I'm not really giving a shit about the Never. Like I don't even care the fact that like it changes hands. Like, you know how like people were all like, oh my god, this is great. How it is these random Fire Pro Wrestling champions that we're getting. I'm kind of. I don't know. It's burnout on me a little bit.
I don't
bit.
Understand why every organization feels the need to have a trios tag title now. Like, Ring of Honor's doing it. I think Lucha Underground has it. It would not surprise me at all if WWE introduced a trios tag title. Would that surprise you?
No, nothing would surprise me, because if something works or something seems original at a time, everyone's going to fucking copy it.
There's this fixation on trio tag titles now. I don't quite understand it, but whatever.
Yeah, listen, I'm more upset that it's not a cup. The six-man champion should have a trophy.
The trios cup.
Yes, they should have a cup, like in World Class, if anybody remembers that. George Glass is my boyfriend. Because I said
gotta,
class.
Got to work
like
in a Brady
class.
Bunch reference there.
That's my favorite episode. My boyfriend, George Glass.
I like when they went to Hawaii.
That's always a good one. Yeah, the fucking tiki thing and Greg wipe. Is it Greg that wipes out?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Ah, the Brady Bunch.
Lots
so
of fun. Classic television references here on the PuroCast, in case you haven't noticed.
Yeah. I know we get the Dennis the Menace, the Brady Bunch. Jesus Christ, what's next? Fucking Bosom Buddies? Kip and Henry?
Even I don't know those ones.
Oh, dude, let me tell you something. Back in the day, I used to watch fucking Bosom Buddies all the time. And I, like, then it went into syndication, and I would watch it. I would watch the tapes over, and it was only like 10 episodes. But I would watch Bosom Buddies all the time. Truth would have it. So obviously, everybody knows who Tom Hanks is. But the other half of Bosom Buddies, and for those of you who don't know what the fuck Bosom Buddies was, let me set the stage here. So Kip and Henry are good friends, right?
They're bosom buddies.
Well, what happens is that they get kicked out of their apartment. They need a place to live. So their friend Amy recommends this place. But there's a catch, Colin.
Uh-oh.
There's a catch. You can't just move in. Why? It's an apartment for just the ladies. Women's only.
Ah.
Aha. Uh-huh. So what do Kip and Henry do? They decide they're going to lead two lives so that they could stay in this cheap but safe and modern apartment complex. They're going to wear women's clothing during the day and then change like Superman to go to work and live their lives.
What year was this?
This is 1980-something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess
that explains
for the 80s, it wasn't that controversial. I thought that this was from like... the 60s or whatever.
Nah, this is like 80. This is like Tom Hanks's first gig. I think it is. I think it's really Tom Hanks's first.
Oh, he was in this.
Oh, Tom Hanks is in it.
Oh, okay.
It was a sitcom on like ABC. Tom Hanks and Peter Scolari.
I've got to see if this is maybe on the Crackle app. They have a lot of classic sitcoms on there.
I'm sure YouTube or something like that. Who did the theme song? It was Billy Joel's My Life.
Wow.
See?
How right. about it? You never know what you're going to get on the PuroCast.
No. It's such a stupid show. It's such a dumb show that it's great.
Are you talking about the PuroCast or Bosom Buddies?
Both. Both. All right. Enough of the Bosom Buddies talk. But that, yeah, that was a good show that I enjoyed back in the day of classic sitcoms. We really don't have a lot of good sitcoms nowadays. You know that?
We do not. The golden age of sitcoms and real funny sitcoms is kind of passed us by.
Yeah, I mean, like, name one really good sitcom. And don't give me that fucking stupid...
Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, don't give me that shit. Don't give me that. I'm talking really good. There ain't many. All right, enough of this. All right, go ahead.
Well, speaking of television shows, actually, this kind of leads us into our King of Pro Wrestling official preview here. Because there's going to be... I don't know if this is going to be a dark match. It's going to be Tiger Mask versus Red Death Mask. And the reason they're having this match is because the old Tiger Mask anime is making a resurgence. It is coming back in Japan. And Tanahashi and Okada are actually going to... They're going to be characters on this anime. So this is an attempt, I guess, by New Japan to kind of reel in those younger viewers.
Yeah, I mean they're taking a shot in the dark with this, trying to relive.
Shot in the dark.
Who sung that? One Step.
Ozzy.
On. Oh yeah, I was gonna say Dio actually.
No, Ozzy. It's from the Ultimate Sin album.
Are you an Ozzy guy?
Oh, I love Ozzy.
Nah, I don't like Ozzy.
You
know what it is? Well, you know what it is with the Ozzy? I hear a lot of Ozzy at the sporting events. Like if I hear fucking Crazy Train one more time, I'm going to put it on my head.
The truth be told, I don't ever need to hear Crazy Train again in my life.
That riff, oh, it haunts me. Every sporting event. Ugh. Where were we? Oh, yeah, the anime. Yeah.
Tiger Mask.
Yep. So, yeah, as a matter of fact, like they're not hiding this cartoon, this anime. It's like a primetime spot on a major network.
Yeah.
So that's good. I mean, that's we'll see how it goes. We'll see if it takes off. As a matter of fact, I saw that the first episode is already out, Colin. And if you search for it on, I think, Dailymotion, if you search for it there, it's translated.
Oh, nice.
So for those of you who are, you need your English subtitles or, translations, it's all there.
Very cool.
Yeah, so the first episode's there, so give it a look, see if you're into that kind of thing. But yeah, that's one thing that New Japan was talking about, of trying to reach those younger demographics, because apparently it's just not happening. Now, I see a lot of kids at these shows, right? It seems like to me I see a lot of little ones.
Remember the Naito kid?
Naito kid is one of my favorite moments of the year, for Christ's sake. That kid stole the show.
He's going to win amazing. Performer of the Year in the PuroCast Year-End Awards.
He really might. He might win. I love that kid. I swear to you, I want to interview him. He's the greatest thing ever. More charisma than half the roster. But the company's upset. Not upset, but they're worried. Did you see the one quote from Meltzer about...
I have that right here in front of me.
Do you have the quote? Because it's an amazing quote, and I just question. Well, Ronan, why don't you read the quote? I know we're all over the place again.
Is it about the survey?
It is about the survey.
Okay.
So this is in The Observer, Colin. Set the stage, and then I have to share my thoughts on this.
Okay, so apparently recently there was a survey that was conducted among younger workers in Japan at different major firms. And the subject of this survey was what they hated most in the workplace, I guess, what annoyed them the most.
Now, this is in The Observer, right? This is according to Dave,
who
wrote this in The Observer, who apparently got a hold of this survey. Like, he doesn't mention what the survey is, who conducted the survey. He just randomly mentions this survey, right? I'm like...
I'll take his word for it.
Okay. Listen, I'm sure he has access to a lot of information. What survey is this? Like, where would he get this information? And who would he ask? And how would he get this? It blew my mind. My head exploded. But, okay, so go on, Colin. My bad.
Okay, so the official quote is, recently there was a survey among younger workers at different major firms in Japan, and the subject of what they hated the most. And their answer was when their bosses would talk so much about professional wrestling. Their bosses being older. you know, I guess in their 40s, 50s.
Me.
Yep, you.
Right. Did he steal this from my assistant?
He may have.
Amy's like, will you shut the fuck up about Ta-Nehisi? I'm going to listen to Skrillex or something. I don't know.
Whatever the kids are listening to these days. I don't know.
Whatever. Would you ever go see a DJ?
Oh, I don't understand how you can go watch a guy with a giant mouse head play with a MacBook Pro. Like, this guy is filling stadiums. Like, what am I playing guitar for?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. You need a mouse head is what you need.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, yes, I would pay to see that. I wouldn't want to hear the music, but yes, I would pay to see that.
These guys are literally filling stadiums with MacBook Pros. I don't get it. As a musician who spent many years practicing and honing my craft, it's kind of a slap in the face to me, but I digress.
Yeah, but I think they're talented in the sense that they could put together these soundscapes, right?
Sure. There is an art to it. I'll give them that. But
the live performance of that? What the fuck? Why would anybody pay money to see that? I don't know. That boggles my mind. Okay, so
anyway, the younger generation apparently does not like professional wrestling.
How does he know? Like, again, in this survey, wouldn't you, like, that's like one of the top things it said. Can you read the exact quote?
Yeah, the exact quote is, recently there was a survey among younger workers at different major firms and in the subject of what they hated the most. It was when their bosses, the older generation, would talk so much about pro wrestling.
Like, nothing about paid time off, like, nothing about, you know, sexual harassment in the workplace, nothing about, you know, major issues.
That's what they hate the most.
That's what they hated the most? Was that their boss talked about fucking Ricky Choshu? What? Are you fucking kidding me? I find that hard to believe. How could that possibly be? Like of all the most random fucking things on earth to talk about, they're upset that their boss talks about, you know, Shinya Hashimoto, right?
It is a very interesting quote, though, because, I mean, let's be honest, pro wrestling here in the States, it's not hot.
No, it's here's what it is. It's passionate in a very small fan base.
Yeah, it's a very niche thing nowadays.
Yeah, and the people that are in it to win it, right? They're in it, you know, passionately. But it's just like anything. It's like people who are like Doctor Who. They're passionate. Doctor Who fans don't, you know, they're not everywhere. They're in their world. You know,
people who listen to Howard Stern.
Howard Stern fans. They're passionate about that. And that's really what the world has become. You know, people find their groove and they find their thing and they can be very passionate about it. I mean, look, in the 90s, it was very hard to be passionate about Japanese pro wrestling because you just didn't have the access to it that you do now. You hop on the internet and you can watch shit from, you know, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, last week, and live. That's a pretty amazing thing. And that's across all entertainment genres, you can do that. But I just found that quote to be just like, one, that's the thing that the workers have a problem with. And B, even if it is true that that's the number one thing that workers hate in the workplace, like, what does that say about pro wrestling? And how does that change?
Well, let me ask you this. As a guy who has, you know, worked in his fair share of offices, and I'll give you my answer first. And the question is, when was the last time you overheard, you know, a group of people talking about pro wrestling, you know, whether it's WWE, TNA?
When China died. No, when China died, that was the last time I heard somebody talking about wrestling.
Yeah, the last time that I heard somebody talking about wrestling, I guess it was a month ago, I walked past a cubicle and I overheard a group of people talking about the death of Mr. Fuji.
Okay. Yeah, when people talk about it and I haven't been in an office in a few months now. Oh, thank the Lord. The overwhelming times when you hear chitter chatter about pro wrestling is when they die, when someone passes away.
Isn't that sad?
It, yeah.
What does that say about the pro wrestling in general right
because
now, as
people are embarrassed to be pro wrestling fans.
Exactly. And you know,
but here goes my point. You turn on certain pro wrestling and it is embarrassing.
It is. And I'll give you one example, and I hate to even bring this up. I'm sure you heard about that segment, I guess it was last month or whatever, with the New Day and Gallows and Anderson. They brought out the old Day. It was, I would feel so ashamed if I was watching that and other people were in the room and that's their perception of what pro wrestling is. When they see stupid, you know, Vince McMahon shit like that,
yeah,
that's their perception of what we watch, and nothing could be further from the truth. I don't want to see that shit. I want to see Tanahashi versus Okada.
Yeah, at the Dome again.
Well, no,
I just hope to finish that sentence. Right? you know, but that's exactly so. When I talk about I don't like the comedy, I don't like the schticky stuff, and I don't like blah, blah. That's why, because it's embarrassing.
Yeah, that's what the general populace thinks that we watch.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, they have no, or they think that to get a Japanese spin on it, that we're watching sumo.
Oh yeah, I can't tell you how many times I get that when I tell people that I do a podcast on Japanese wrestling. The very first question, 9 times out of 10, oh, you mean like sumo?
Yeah,
they don't even know that there is like pro wrestling in Japan.
Yeah. Yeah, it blows their mind, actually.
It's yeah.
Like, they're like, what?
Yeah. And they're like, oh, you mean like WWE? And then I have to explain, well, yes but not exactly. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. It's treated like a sport, et cetera, et cetera. Right. And it's just exhausting.
It is exhausting. I just tell them I like basketball.
I like the Harlem Globetrotters.
Right. I'm exhausted. I can't fucking get into this talk again about pro. So, but that's it. But like, as a grown man, as a professional grown man, in dare I say, Colin, successful in many different industries, mind you.
Yes.
It's not something that I talk about. Imagine being a single guy. And like, you know, you're starting to hit it off with a young gal or you're a young lady who happens to like the pro wrestling as well. And you're going out on a date and with a fine gentleman, and things are turning out to be smashing. And next thing you know, you're kind of getting into the talks of, so what do you do in your spare time? What do you like to do? And I guarantee you people bail out. I like needlecraft and needlecraft. I meant Minecraft.
Needlecraft.
I wanted to say Minecraft.
That sounds like a drug thing.
Is needlecraft something? Needlecraft is a thing, right?
Needlepoint.
Needlepoint. Ah, fuck. Blew it. I mix match the both. I like needlecraft and Mindpoint.
Needlepoint's supposed to be very good for the arthritis, by the way.
Yeah, there was a football player who did that a lot. Anyway, who cares? But yeah, I'm sure, Colin, let's put it this way, Colin. I'm sure on your match.com profile, you don't put in there, you know, huge fan of, you know, Tanahashi and Okada.
Honestly, I'll tell you what, that is one of the first things that I try and just put out in the open right away, just so
really?
There's no surprises.
Well, okay.
I try and be as open as, like, look, because this is a major part of my life, like doing this podcast and watching these New Japan shows. So, I put it out there. Hey, I'm really passionate about this.
That's good. I mean, my wife knows. You know, my wife.
I would think that she would know by now.
You know, I lead this secret life. Were you going downstairs again? Well, you know. Okay. I hope this is interesting to people because we're going on in 900 different tangents.
Well, it's relevant.
I think it is relevant because, again, it is about building the fan base. And I think that's really the theme of this show is how does New Japan build that base? Because, and again, I'm not up on the dating scene. I'm barely up on the dating scene in the United States.
I'm not up on the dating scene.
Right, you're not. Right, no. We're 0-2 here.
I don't have the energy.
Well, right. That aside, right. I just don't think that it's a popular thing. Like,
it just blows my mind that back in the late 90s, like, as many people that were watching Monday Night Football were watching pro wrestling on a weekly basis. That blows my mind to think about. That's almost like an alternate universe.
But that's across the board, too. Japan was super fucking red hot in the 90s, right?
Yeah.
And then more in the early, in the mid-90s, they were super red hot.
I mean, you had all Japan.
Yeah, oh, I mean, you know.
With their heavyweights. And
yeah, they were doing Budokan. They weren't doing Korakuen. They were doing right. Budokan and selling out, you know, night after right. Show after show after show.
In New Japan with the juniors.
Yeah, look, it was a golden time. And I think that things are always going in a circle. You know, you're going to get peaks and valleys. The 80s was tremendous for New Japan. Those 90s, it's just a different time, I guess. But here's the thing. And but every other sporting, I don't want to say league or sporting, is up. Like your NFL, your American football, up. I'm sure the Premier League in over in England, up. UFC, from what I understand, I'm not a huge UFC guy, but I mean, their numbers are up, right? They just sold the fucking joint for, you know, $2 billion or whatever
it was. $4
billion. Yeah, I mean, some wacko number like that. You know, baseball numbers, local numbers, are all up, like, for the local teams. I don't know if the national numbers are up, but the local numbers are all up. Hockey is across the board. Everything's up. Well, pro wrestling's not up. And now, again, this United States is different, but it seems like as the United States goes, so does Japan.
Well, here's the thing. When you have the number one professional wrestling organization in the world, which is WWE, I think that's a fact, right?
I thought you were going to say TNA. No, that's not true.
They still exist.
I think as of right now, and literally the joke is by the minute, which is very accurate from what I'm reading. They have a show tonight, don't they? Is it supposed to be tonight?
Yeah, their WrestleMania Bound for Glory is supposed to be tonight. And from what I understand, like, all the talent has flown into Florida and they're there.
I might want to watch this show.
I might too.
I just to see what happens. I mean, this might be one of those work shoot, you know, fucking we're going out in a blaze of glory kind of bullshit.
This that could be amazing. But anyway, where I was going with this, when you have the number one professional wrestling promotion in the entire world, when they don't treat it seriously and they basically tell you on screen that this is all just hokey fake bullshit, that there's a trickle down effect there, I think.
I agree in the States. And again, but with that being said,
in the world.
Oh, okay. But understand the WWE's relevance in Japan is small. It really is.
Oh, yeah. New Japan is much bigger in Japan than WWE is.
I'm going to say yes to that. And I know that there might be arguments about that. But, I mean, you look at the networks, right? And just that alone, and I know the technology, and I know the culture of streaming services. I know all that, but you know, you look at the numbers for New Japan World, and you look at the numbers for the WWE Network in Japan. WWE Network in Japan, there's like three people that fucking signed up for that thing, and two of them were Shinsuke Nakamura's parents. All right, let's be truthful. You know, aside from that, you know, but here's the thing too, though. When they come, when they tour, they always do very well, right? Tickets move. They get close to sell. The last time when Brock was there, tickets were slow until Brock was announced.
Yeah.
And then the next one was Nakamura. So, of course, that's going to do well in Asuka and all them.
AJ.
Yeah. So, you know, and Gallows and Anderson. So, yeah, that's going to do well. But they don't really have TV over there.
No, to my understanding, they don't.
They have This Week in Pro Wrestling. And it's weird because every time I turn on Samurai TV, again, I turn it on as I start my day. I pop it on. And it seems like right around 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning, it's This Week in WWE is on. And I'm like, fuck. I bought this thing to not watch WWE. This WWE shit's on. Is there a trickle-down effect? Possibly. I don't think it's that impactful in Japan. What the WWE does is not that impactful from a Japanese perspective. The problem is this. Is one, see, you know, I feel like I'm comparing apples and oranges because I'm comparing, you know, American sports and the ratings and the numbers being up across the board. I don't know what's up across the board in Japan. You know what I mean? So, like, I could sit here and say, well, WWE does this on a Monday night, right? and compared to when football season starts or when football season ends or when baseball season starts and when baseball's, I don't know the equivalent of that for Japan. Japan's a really a different animal. It's just a different culture wise. You know, I don't know if traditional sports, like I don't know if like the Giants or the Carp or, you know, what any other baseball team, the Hawks, is it the Hawks, Fukuoka? I'm asking you like you know.
I know all about sports, Damon, especially in Japan.
Right. But I don't know like if that's impactful enough to a new Japan audience. I don't know. It's hard to say.
I would love to talk to like one of our Japanese listeners and get their take on this. Like, do they, you know, have the same feeling about pro wrestling in Japan right now? Is it, you know, kind of embarrassing to talk about?
Yeah, that's one thing I'd like to talk to when I go over. We got a whole shit ton of things to line up. Oh, I got to tell you the story about the tickets too.
Yeah, there was a lottery.
I'll give you the full fucking scoop on that in a second. But that's one thing I want to talk about is that feeling like is pro wrestling kind of like I don't want to say an old man sport, but like are fans more traditionally 30, 40s and 50s as opposed to teens and 20s? That's really kind of what I want to get into. And what impacts that number? Like, so are there other things that are drawing their interest? Why isn't it interesting? Why don't people enjoy it as much as they did in the past? And why and how can New Japan gain new audience? Is it with a cartoon like this? I don't know. Tiger Mask kind of captured the imagination, if you will, of a young generation back in the 80s. Would it have the same impact here in 2016? I don't know. I can't answer that. We'll see.
Well, what do you say we get into this King of Pro Wrestling card?
Yeah, let's do it. We've been rambling about. I think we did like 900 topics in that time span.
Well, hey, so, we have a lot on our minds today.
We do. We do. We're passionate fans, Colin. We're passionate.
We really are. So why don't we give our official preview and predictions for the show, which is taking place on October 10th, which is a Monday, live in Tokyo at Sumo Hall. And there is going to be English commentary for this show by our good buddy Kevin Kelly and Mr. Steve Carino. And by the way, I just want to put this out there that we, the PuroCast, was the first to report on the English commentary for this show long before Meltzer put that in the Observer.
Wow.
So just saying.
Okay.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, listen, give credit to Colin Miller, people. Please.
Seriously.
That's what he's looking for. All right.
I'm looking for a pat on the back.
You get it from me every week, my friend. Every week. All right.
So let's work our way from the bottom to the top of this card. So I talked about the dark match already. We've got Tiger Mask versus Red Death Mask in promotion of the Tiger Mask anime. So we'll see how that goes. But the first match is a six-man tag featuring the team of Will Ospreay, Yoshihashi, and Tomohiro Ishii taking on Yujiro Takahashi, Bad Luck Fale, and Adam Cole Bebe.
Will Ospreay opening up the show, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't he open up a show recently?
Yeah, sure did.
What does that say?
Wasn't it a six-man tag, too?
I believe so.
Yeah, seems like we're seeing a lot of that from Will Ospreay, aren't we? Not for nothing. Big show like King of Pro Wrestling? I don't know. I'm not too happy with that. I'd like to see a little bit more. Ospreay's hurt, right? So maybe they're just kind of, I don't want to say give him the night off in a six-man, but,
Like he takes the night off in these six-mans, though.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter, right? He's still going to do his shit. Whether he's hurt or not. So, I don't know. If that's the case, maybe it's for his own good to be in a six-man to kind of limit some of the shit that he's going to be doing. I can't say I'm overly excited for this, Colin. I can't say that I'm super thrilled. We got the lower halves of Bullet Club on one side and the lower half of Chaos on the other, it seems like. Yoshihashi filling that role once again very comfortably in an opening six-man tag.
What's your prediction for this match?
Me trying to keep my eyes open.
my prediction, pain.
Mr. T. I mean, honestly, I don't think I have a prediction.
Neither do I.
I mean, scale of 1 to 10, my excitement is a 3. I'm going to say that who we got? We got Ospreay, Yoshihashi, and who?
And Ishii.
Against
one of the performers of the year, might I add, Tomohiro Ishii.
Yeah, against Takahashi, Cole, and who?
And Fale.
Fale's pinning somebody, probably Yoshihashi.
Probably Ospreay.
Yeah, I think Fale's kind of getting a win here. All right.
Alrighty, after that, we have an 8-man tag.
Oh, my God. I mean, seriously, how many? Enough of the fucking tags.
I know. Okay, and guess what? The match after that is an 8-man tag.
God almighty.
But this one, we have the team of Bobby Fish, Taguchi, Honma, and Makabe taking on Trent Barreta, Rocky Romero, Jado, and Toru Yano. Boy, if this doesn't scream Road 2.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I mean, seriously, how is anybody supposed to get excited for this?
I don't know.
I mean, this is what they've done for years, but it's like, God almighty, how can anybody get excited for this?
And for what it's worth, King of Pro Wrestling is one of my favorite shows that they do all year. I look forward to King of Pro Wrestling.
And I know it's an undercard. I know where this is the second match, but you're telling me there's how many? Just tell me how many tag, multi-man tag, at least 3-man tag, you know, at least 6-man tag. How many matches are there on this show that are of that level?
Tag matches?
Tag matches more than, you know, I need more 3 people a team. Yeah.
More than 3 people a team.
Oh, 3 or more.
Okay, 3 or more. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 multi-man, you know, 3 or more tag matches.
Jesus Christ. On arguably, you know, besides Invasion Attack, this is a decent show.
Yeah, this
right?
is their biggest show between the G1 and the Tokyo Dome.
4. All right. So what's this match now?
Bobby Fish, Taguchi, Honma, Makabe versus Barreta, Rocky Romero, Jado, and Toru Yano.
I don't know. Toru Yano does nothing for me. We know this, right? Red Dragon.
Red Dragon's not in it.
Oh, it's just Bobby Fish, right?
It's just Bobby Fish.
I'm not excited, guys. I'm sorry. I can't fake it. It's just not there. Excitement level's a 3. I don't give a fuck who wins. I really don't. Does anybody? Seriously. I mean, I'm trying to find the positive spin, Colin. Help me find the positive spin here. What am I supposed to sink my teeth into with this fucking match?
Well, I'm drawing a blank here, Dave.
That's what I'm saying.
However, I think the next match, you may find something to sink your teeth into. It is the NJPW versus NOAH special 8-man tag match.
Okay, well, who's in it?
Okay, so on one side, we've got Nakanishi, Nagata, Kojima, and Tenzan. So all the New Japan dads.
Right, okay.
Taking on the NOAH side, Kitamiya, Nakajima, Taniguchi, and Go Shiozaki.
Yeah, I'm into this.
Yeah, I thought you'd be.
Yeah, I'm into this. This could be really good.
Yeah, this could be interesting because, you know, you've got the New Japan legends, veterans defending the home turf against these NOAH guys.
And here's the thing, too. Now, here's where I think the multi-man matches are a positive. You know, you got guys who probably shouldn't, you know, Nagata aside, you know, you shouldn't be putting them in singles matches, right?
You don't want to see Nakanishi in a singles match?
No, I don't. But he can do his 3 or 4 minutes of his shit, and his, you know, he can go all out and miss dives and nearly kill himself, and everybody can make a gif of it and, you know, laugh about it the next day. We can do that. And it's a safe environment for this. And this should be a nice kick-ass brawl. Like, this should be a real hard-hitting contest. And the NOAH side, you got a lot of nice, young, scrappy guys. Maybe not young, but, you know, comparatively. On the other side, and Goshi. Listen, this has a tastiness that and an excitement that will finally have me woken up for this show.
By the way, speaking of Goshi Ozaki, somebody on Twitter asked me they made the comment, "Hey, what's up with Colin's hatred of Goshi Ozaki? Did I miss something?" I had to explain to them the whole.
Oh, you gave the whole thing.
Nakamura AJ thing from the Dome last year. Yeah, so I just thought that was funny.
Yeah, and again, I think you don't harbor any ill will toward Go, but it was more of that you just didn't want to see him in that fucking role at that time, and we've played it up a little bit. We've carried that over a little bit. All right, that's not a bad match. Let's say I would go 7. I'm going so far as to say a 7. This is the first match, three matches in. That I'm really can legitimately say that I'm awake for.
Yeah, see, I told you.
Good. All right, you helped me there. All right, so we're 1-2, or 1-3.
All right, this next match is for the IWGP Junior Tag Team titles, and truth be told, I'm not very excited about this at all. On one side, we've got the new team of David Finlay and Ricochet, which I don't care for at all, and I'll get into that in a second, taking on the Young Bucks.
I would think David Finlay and Ricochet would be right up your alley.
Look, nothing against David Finlay, but he's no Matt Sydal. And Ricochet and Sydal, you know, together collectively is the super high flyers.
Oh, right. Well, so is Jim Brunzel and Greg Gagne, if I'm not mistaken. Look.
They were one of the most exciting things about the
AWA.
No. About New Japan's tag team division. They were one of the teams that, you know, got me more excited about these tag matches. And when you throw David Finlay in there, you know, nothing against him. He's a great worker, but him and Ricochet together, it's just, I don't know. It's weird to me. I wish Sydal would come back already, and I wish they'd get that mess straightened out.
Okay. Agreed. I don't think that the flash and the sexiness of Sydal versus David Finlay is the same. Okay, I'll agree with you there. But I think what you're doing is, let me ask you this. If Matt Sydal, if there was no Matt Sydal, would you think this tag team is pretty cool? You think this is a good tag team?
Yeah, you know what? That is a fair point. If, you know, that tag team of Ricochet and Sydal never existed and they just put Finlay with Ricochet, yeah, I'd probably say this is pretty cool.
You'd be excited.
Right.
Now, here's the thing, too. It does feel a bit like hodgepodgey and let's just shove this shit together real quick and because, you know, it is what it is. It doesn't feel like it's a team, right? It doesn't feel like it's like, I don't know, going back to maybe an old school thought, but it doesn't feel like a cohesive tag team. It just feels like two guys that are just shoved together real quickly.
Can't they smuggle Sydal across the border illegally or something and just get him in the arena? Isn't that an option?
I don't think it is, Colin. I think it's a bad option. But here's what I'll ask you to do. Think of it that way.
Don't tell me what to do.
All right. Hey, don't steal my line. But I'm going to ask that you do this.
Okay.
Ask. You don't have
to. All right. I'm open-minded.
Good. Let's pretend Matt Sydal never existed.
Wow. Okay.
That's all I'm asking. Because
his parents never procreated.
Never happened. It never happens. It's the Matrix. It's you know, red pill, blue pill. That'll help. That'll help because I think you're pining for something. That's in hindsight, if you weren't pining for that, you would see that this is a hell of a fucking tag team.
I'll give it a shot.
Give it a shot, Colin. I think you're gonna be happier. And against the Young Bucks.
Yeah, against the Bucks.
This could be a good fucking match, Colin.
You know what? It is going to be a good match.
It really is. It's going to be a good match. Now, the problem is, Colin, is that we do have that possibility that we do in every single New Japan Young Bucks match. Is the crowd going to give a fuck? And is the crowd going to hurt this fucking match?
Well, let's see. They're at Sumo Hall in Tokyo. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a better chance of them caring about this match here than there was in, where were they? Hiroshima?
Yeah. That was terrible. That crowd response. Ugh. But we say that all the time about Young Bucks. I mean, when do we stop making excuses for that? Like when does that happen? Somebody's got to take the blame for that. It's not like it's just a I don't want to say an anti-American or anti-North American thing with the Japanese audience. I find that hard to believe.
The un-Americans. Remember that stable?
I do.
Landstorm. Test. Yeah.
Yes. Terrible. Test. What
God
a terrible
rest his
name.
Soul.
Yes. Yeah, he did pass away. Stacy Keibler. Wasn't he with Stacy Keibler for a long
yeah,
time?
Yeah, I believe he was.
Good for him.
So was George Clooney.
Good for him.
Good for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Good old George. Well, how do we get there? Okay. Again, my point being, there's got to be a certain point where people got to look at the Young Bucks and be like, all right, well, what the fuck's the problem here?
They've been here a long time in Japan.
Been here a long time. They know who they are. It's, and again, some of this has to fall on the shoulders of the promotion. And making them credible threats. And I think that the more that they cross over to heavyweights helps. But, yeah, we'll see what kind of crowd response this gets. I think the best part of the crowd response is going to be rooting for David Finlay, you know, and seeing David Finlay progress as no longer a young lion.
And seeing those leopard skin tights.
You hate them things, don't you?
With the ransom note written on the back.
Ransom note.
And the vest. Like,
yeah.
It's a pretty sweet vest, too.
He's got it's a weird look. It's all over the place with that. All over the place. I don't know what he's trying to, like, what is that? You know how, like, people kind of, it feels like you have, like, a theme, like, oh, he's futuristic, or, oh, he's heavy metal-y, or, like, I don't know what he's trying to go for with this.
By the way, there is a petition going on online amongst our fans to,
Our fans?
Yeah, our fans.
Petition to get me off the air, right?
Well, that's the other petition, but the one I was going to bring up was, you know, people want to see me in this drive jacket, Damon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, how'd that go?
So
yeah.
There's a drive, no pun intended, to kind of raise some funds to get me in this jacket. So
is it really?
We'll see what happens.
I'll contribute to that fucking fund. You absolutely, without question, I'll contribute. Post the link to this. We need this to happen. Somebody organize this.
Yeah, oh, I knew you'd be excited about that.
That made my day. Oh, I'm buying it. I'm buying it for you for Christmas. Actually, you're gonna open a box. And you're going to open up, and I want that fucking jacket wrapped around you. Oh, it's going to be great. All right, very
so
good.
So what's your excitement level for this junior tag match?
Not bad. I'd say a six. Six.
I'll give it a six.
Yeah, I'll give it a six.
Now, I have a feeling you're not going to be giving this next match a six. It is for the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team titles.
Uh-oh.
We've got the champions, the Briscoes, defending against the Gorillas of Destiny. And I think that the writing is on the wall here for this match, because the World Tag League takes place during Final Battle. And there's no way that Ring of Honor is going to let the Briscoes be in Japan during their WrestleMania, so to speak. So I think that the Briscoes are dropping the belts to G.O.D. here. And I'm not looking forward to the match at all. I'm sure the Briscoes are going to work hard, as always. They always bust their ass wherever they are. But I don't care about G.O.D.
I agree.
Beat this into the ground.
I agree. It's New Japan's fault for this, though. It's somebody sees something in this tag team. I find it hard to believe that they weren't prepared for this, or they didn't know of the situation with Ring of Honor. But yeah, it's poor, either really shitty poor planning, which I don't agree with, or they have more faith in them than we do, or the most prevalent answer that we've seen in the past 3 years is, oh, we don't give a fuck about the tag belts. That's really it. I can't believe anyone who would give the tag belts any, you know, moment of their time to consider, okay, how are we going to book this out? How are we going to make this interesting? How we would even remotely go in this direction?
Yeah, it seems like there's no thought.
It really doesn't. It feels like we're showing up at the show and we're booking the tag belts.
And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. You could have had a more interesting dynamic if you put Tama Tonga with, like, Bad Luck Fale, because that's almost like, I like tag teams where they kind of have that Hart Foundation dynamic. You know what I mean? Because on one side you have like a
speedy, athletic,
technically sound performer, and then on the other side you've got the big, you know, the big hoss that's going to bulldoze over people. That would have been a lot more interesting than teaming up Tama Tonga with Tonga Loa.
Because Tonga Loa is not a fit. You know, it, and again, we've said it a trillion times. We'll say it a trillion and one times. It's, I don't think he's a terrible worker, but I think he's average at best, and he works a style that's just not like it's just not a New Japan style.
And I think that we can all see that.
It, well, all minus one important person, right? I mean, seriously, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to, which boggles my mind. But you know, at the end of the day. At the end of the day, I just don't think it's an important and a relevant factor anymore in New Japan. At least not right now. Those belts. Now, listen, we got the World Tag League coming up. Everybody's kind of hoping and hanging their hat on Ishii and Goto, right? And we don't even know if they're going to be an official team, right? I mean, no teams have been announced yet.
No,
obviously, but you know, we're all kind of hoping that might be a direction that they go in.
And I was hoping for a combination of these tag team tournaments. Just combine them. Just have like the Bucks going up against Ishii and Goto. That's interesting. I want to see that.
Me too. Yeah, I mean, we said it a million times.
I can't believe, though, that I was foolish enough to believe that was the direction where they were going, because didn't it seem like it for a while? Didn't it seem like the Bucks challenging the Briscoes was like, okay, they're finally doing it. They're finally going there. And
well, with this and Red Dragon and even Kenny Omega to a certain degree. I mean, sure. Kenny Omega is a different story in the sense that, you know, I think a lot of people had him pigeonholed out of the gate. You know, he was a junior going in, but nobody really saw him continuing his career and moving forward, being a junior, we kind of hope that this would lead to more of a synergy between the two weight classes, George glasses. But we'll see, Colin. I mean, the tag where the proof is going to be in the pudding is the tag tournament. I mean, as long as they mix those two up, then we'll have some forward progress.
Do you remember last year's tag tournament?
Do I ever?
You try not to, right?
It's suicidal. It's you know, you're like, you can't believe you're watching what you're watching consistently, and it's like, and it's not as grueling as the G1, mind you, but it's consistent and constant that you're like, oh my god. It's a struggle. It's a struggle because they're not going to one. You go into the tournament knowing who's going to win. Right, just by the way the booking goes,
right?
And you kind of see when they could, because they announced the dome show, right? They announced the lineup for the dome show before the finals of the tag league tournament.
Yeah,
so you just kind of do the math. You cross off the names that are already booked, and then these are the names that are left over. Who's the possibilities? And you go with the sweetest team. That's what they've done for the past 2 years, two or three years, actually. So that takes a lot of juice out of takes a lot of juice out of the tag tournament.
I'd like to see juice in the tag.
He'll be in it. Him and don't be surprised if it's him and Tanahashi.
Hey, you know what? I'm kind of into that.
Don't be surprised. Him and Tanahashi. That's perfect for, somebody's got to take the fall, and ain't always going to be Tanahashi.
Speaking of Tanahashi, you're not going to believe this, but this next match on this King of Pro Wrestling card is an 8-man tag match, and it is the exact same main event that I was telling you about for that Road 2 show on Saturday. It's the same match. It's Jay Lethal, Kushida, Elgin, and Tanahashi taking on LIJ.
Wow.
That's
really?
The same match that is the main event for the Road 2 show on Saturday the 8th. We're seeing it twice.
I feel like this is a lead up to SummerSlam, you know, back in the 90s where you had the house shows, you know, and they had the same matches. Then they finally, wow, really?
Yeah. And speaking of LIJ, here's something interesting. Apparently, I didn't see it. I don't know if you caught any of it, but Ring of Honor had their All-Star Extravaganza pay-per-view this past Friday. And apparently, Jay Lethal pinned Naito clean in the middle of the ring.
Yeah, I did. I didn't see the show. Truth be told, do you want to go behind the curtain, Colin? All right, let's go behind the curtain. So you texted me, and said, "Hey, I'm thinking about getting this Ring of Honor pay per view show," and I'm like,
"I did.
Did you get it?
No. I did text you.
Yeah, you did text, and I may have talked you out of it.
Yeah, you really did.
I'm like, you're going to regret, because I know you're tight for money, and I know that, you know, I was just like, do you have fucking 40 bucks to lie down for a show that, I mean, it might be good, it might not be good. You know,
and
I mean?
And like, I had like just recently spent 60 bucks on watching CM Punk get his ass beat.
Right. I mean, never. I got one rule: never buy a UFC. Never buy a UFC pay per view because you don't know what you're going to get. You went into that wanting to see Punk, and you were hoping it would go at least a fucking round,
yeah,
right?
I thought there was going to be GTSs and Anaconda Vice. I got none of that.
None of that, right? So at least you know what you're getting with a pro wrestling pay per view, and right, it's going to go a certain amount of time. The ladder match, yeah, it did. From what I hear, all reports that I've heard was amazing.
Yeah,
amazing,
it's supposed to be wild.
So I have that on my to-dos. I got to catch that.
But I thought that was interesting, though. Lethal pinning Naito.
Yeah.
That's not something they normally do at Ring of Honor shows, have the, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, there is always that running, I don't want to say joke, but kind of under their breath, you know, how the New Japan guys rarely put over the Ring of Honor guys. But, okay, so you have that. And then at that last Brooklyn show, you had Kyle O'Reilly, again, tapping out, making submit, passing out Shibata.
Which is our next match on this card.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, that's a very interesting result from that show. But from everything I've heard from that Ring of Honor show, I probably fucked you up on that one. That's probably one you should have gotten.
Yeah.
So,
well, you're right, though. I didn't have the extra cash just lying around. And also, a lot of the times, these ROH shows do end up on NJPW World after a certain amount of time.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I knew it wasn't going to be live.
The last one was live.
In Japan only.
Right. In Japan only.
Yeah. There's things you can do with your fucking browser. Not that I would recommend anyone doing that. I just heard things about the internet that can be done.
Hey, we want people to spend money on pro wrestling.
I spend more money on, getting back to a point I made hours ago, I probably spend more money on fucking pro wrestling than I do just about anything else. I spend hundreds, if not thousands of dollars a year on pro wrestling. So nobody's going to accuse me of being one of those people of recommending a pirating or anything like that. I'll never say that. Never. But, yeah.
Never is a good segue.
Ah, for the
Never Openweight Championship, we've got the champion, Katsuyori Shibata, defending against the challenger, Kyle O'Reilly. Now, here's the thing.
Is this match actually going to happen?
That's where I was getting at. That's what I was getting at. We don't know if Shibata is even going to be able to wrestle in time for this. Now, I did hear, not really rumors, but just people talking about, well, if Shibata isn't there, maybe they'll put Nagata in his place up against O'Reilly, which would be a good match, I think.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with that. Well, let me take that back. I mean, if Shibata's hurt, what are you going to do?
Right.
You know, would I have a problem with it? No, I'd be okay with it. I mean, that's not a bad replacement. It wouldn't be for the belt, would it?
I don't believe so, because how could they just...
Well, never six-man they did.
Yeah, that's true, but who...
I mean, and at least somebody's legitimately injured as opposed to, you know...
You're right. I guess they could say, okay, this is for the vacant, never open-weight title, Nagata versus O'Reilly.
I'll tell you what. If they don't do that, that might spell... It might give you a clue, a little tea leaf, of how they feel about Seidel, right? So if Seidel couldn't make these shows, right, and that was that, and the company's cool, and it was just, you know, visa issues, and they just couldn't get it sorted out, you know, why would you have that be a tag? Why would the titles be automatically be vacant at that point, right?
Right.
That tells you that they're not bringing back Seidel.
Seidel was just trying to have a good time, man. I don't know why everyone's so...
Well, try and pull that line with your employer and not show up for work.
I'm just looking for a good time.
I'm just trying to have a good time. Colin, you're supposed to be at work. You missed 3 days straight. Listen, I'm just hanging out.
Trying to chill out, you know?
Tranquilo, right?
Yeah, tranquilo. So, Anyway,
but that might tell you what they think of Seidel.
Yeah.
Right? So if in fact they say, okay, this is for the belt, it's not like they're saying they're dropping Shibata, but okay, if they don't, you can see how there's this double standard, maybe.
Perhaps.
And again, that might explain that double standard. They're saying, well, hit the streets, hit the pavement, Matt Seidel. Hit the road, hit the bricks. That's what they're saying.
Anyway, though, I'm hoping that Shibata is healthy enough to wrestle in this match, because I'm looking forward to this. And if it does happen, do you see O'Reilly picking up the victory here?
That's a good question.
Because you have to take into consideration that he's probably going to be, well, he is going to be wrestling for the ROH World title at Final Battle.
Here's my point. I don't think Shibata should be wrestling this match, period.
Me neither.
I really don't. I mean, I'm not that guy that's, don't do this move, don't do these headbutts, don't do whatever. You're an adult.
Yeah, you want them to kill themselves.
I do not want that, Colin. I want them to do what's right for them, right? And I'm with that with just about every aspect of my life. If you're not hurting someone else, fucking do your thing. Baby, you were born this way.
A Lady Gaga reference on the HeroCast.
I do like that song.
Hey, it's a catchy tune.
It really is. That's a good song. I don't think that he should be wrestling. There's no way that he is even remotely healed from a spinal injury in what? 3 weeks? 2 weeks?
I can see him wanting to do it, though.
Listen, he's a maniac. I'm sure he'd do it right now. That's not the point. Sometimes, you know, an outsider and an intelligent point of view when it comes to someone's health, especially when it comes to athletes, because I'm around them quite often, Colin, there's got to be a second party that comes in and says, you know what? It's probably not the best thing. And here's the thing. Kyle O'Reilly and Shibata is not popping this fucking house, right? Let's be honest. It's not drawing this house. I don't want to have this match. I don't want to have the match. Let's wait. I'm okay with waiting. Now, if he's okay, he's ready to go. Okay, fine, great. I find it hard to believe that he's okay and ready to go. This is different. This is different than Ishii taping up his shoulder.
Yeah, right? It's much different when you're dealing with spinal problems. That's pretty serious.
Right. This is not Will Ospreay, and you know he's banged up, and you know even though we're talking about nerve damage in some cases, maybe it's not that different. I don't know. Spine fucking worries me. You know what I mean? When I start hearing spine, my eyebrows are raised, and I think being cautious is the best way to go. And again, 3 weeks, and now you're healed, and now you're going to get in there against Kyle O'Reilly, who's going to kick you in the fucking chest. Nah, not worth it.
Let me ask you this. Do you see Shibata versus O'Reilly as a worthy dome match for the NEVER title come January, if it doesn't happen here?
Yeah.
I do, too.
I do. I think it could be a really good match. Yeah, I would be okay with that. I'm totally cool with that.
And I think
that
would give them more time to have a better build, because it did seem like...
A better build, but they're not going to have more time to have a better match.
Right.
You know, they're going to get 10 minutes.
Right. Well, moving on to the semi-main event of the evening. This is for the right to challenge the IWGP Heavyweight Champion at Wrestle Kingdom. We've got the challenger, Hirooki Goto, or as we like to call him, Chief J Goto, challenging Kenny Omega for that G1 Climax 26 briefcase.
You see Kenny Omega's tweets?
I did not.
Kenny Omega gets on, and he was hilarious, talking about how New Japan's booking, he actually used the term the New Japan booking, is laughable in the sense of, oh, I'm at ringside. I'll just hop in the ring and point my finger and make a challenge. And, oh, number one contender.
That does seem to be how it works.
It really does. So, yeah, and here we go. Look, on the one hand, we know that they can have a good match, a great match. They had it at G1. Could they have another great match? Certainly. The point that you made last week, Colin, about how Goto has to win this or he's Chief J once again, I think holds true. You know, it feels like he has to win to have some credibility, but I don't see that happening.
I wouldn't have made this match. I wouldn't have booked this match. I think that this is just going to hurt Goto even. Like, how much can you hurt this guy? How much can you make him look like a loser?
They really are making him look. They in the past 2 years, aside from the Intercontinental title run, and again, let's keep in mind, he beat Shinsuke Nakamura not once, but twice.
Yeah.
Twice or three times?
He beat him two times. You know, one of the biggest stars in New Japan at that time. He beat him clean right in the middle twice in a row.
Yeah. And then they went about really just
Ziggler-izing him.
You know, I sometimes the WWE references get under my skin, Colin. Not this time. It's
true.
Is what it is. Yeah. Yeah. There's only so many times you can make a guy look like a fucking geek before the crowd just starts hand waving it. Does anybody think Goto's got a shot at this? Watch him win.
That would be amazing. Could you imagine? I mean, that's not going to happen.
All right. Let me paint a picture.
Okay. I didn't know you painted, by the way.
I'm like a Rob Ross. Is it Rob Ross? Is that his name? Rob Ross?
I don't know.
Yeah, the happy, you know, the happy painter guy.
Oh, was he the dude with the afro?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that guy. Okay.
You know a story about him? He couldn't cut his hair.
Really?
Like he couldn't change his hairstyle because he was so synonymous with that hairstyle that he was so worried about. He hated the hairstyle. He did it as a gag in college. And he couldn't not do it. He couldn't cut his hair because he was so worried about his gimmick.
Yeah.
As the happy painter. Very peaceful, isn't it? You can watch it for hours and just, you know, chill.
I think it's on Netflix, actually. You can go and watch those episodes.
He made it look so easy, didn't it? Like all he needs is like a fucking spackle knife and a and I can make these beautiful paintings. Are you kidding me? These mountain ranges. Of course, it never turned out like that. Okay. What's my point, Colin?
Goto.
Oh, let me paint a picture. Goto, member of what faction?
Chaos.
Mm-hmm. Wins the briefcase, right? Challenges Okada at the Dome. And he's like, and Okada's like, no, fuck you. No, you're part of Chaos. And this turns into a redemption for Goto. This whole thing was a giant ruse as a redemption for Goto to finally get his one-uppets because he couldn't beat Okada. Remember? He tried and he remember the whole face paint thing? Remember that back in the year?
Goto cleansing himself and
Himself. Yep. Yep.
In the river.
Yep. Remember all that? Remember all that?
Being baptized by John the Baptist.
Yep. And he can't get that big win. He can never get that big win. And now he's finally got the opportunity to get the big win on the big stage against the faction that he joined. He didn't want to join this, but he felt like he had to. He felt like he needed to do something new and reinvent himself, but he didn't really want to be a part of Chaos. He was never a good fit in Chaos. And now that he's got this shot and Okada has said, no, fuck you, you're a part of Chaos. Well, fuck Chaos. I'm redeeming myself. I'm building myself up back. And this is my redemption. Here at the Tokyo Dome, I'm finally going to win the big one. How does that sound, Colin?
I think that that sounds great. And I think that they can do it. However, I don't think it would be the main event, and I'll tell you why. I see them, and I truly mean this. I see them as going with Naito versus Tanahashi as the main event at Wrestle Kingdom.
Hmm. So you think that the IWGP Heavyweight Champion, a man who consistently and constantly feels slighted by not only the promotion, but from everyone surrounding it, that he is second fiddle to Tanahashi. You're saying to me that he's going to be okay. A man who has been deemed the chosen one to run this company to new heights. You're telling me that he's going to be okay. Being second fiddle in a match against Hirooki Goto at the Tokyo Dome. Okada's going to be okay. You're telling me he's going to be okay with that?
No.
By the way, I saw Reservoir Dogs, and that's what, this is where I'm stealing from. That where at the end, where it's like they're all standing there with their guns.
Yeah,
right?
The Mexican standoff.
Right, and he's like, you know, I swear to God on my dead mother's life. He's bleeding on the ground. And he's like, you mean to tell me a man who did time, who could have accepted any deal, now that he's out of jail, turned his back on my father, you're telling me? I just saw that, so that's why I got that.
Wait, you just saw Reservoir, like, for the first time?
No, I just saw that bit.
Like, oh, okay.
I was on my computer during the week.
Yeah.
You know how you just get into it, an internet wormhole?
I do that all the time, like, right before bed.
Yeah, and it's like 2 o'clock in the morning.
I'm laying in my bed on my iPad, like, watching old movie clips on YouTube. But
yeah, so I was watching the Reservoir Dog clips, and I was watching Pulp Fiction clips, and that was one of them. And I was just like, oh, what a great! And the best one is where he's shot in the stomach, and he's in the back, and he's like, I'm dying back here.
Are you a doctor?
Yeah, are you a doctor? You're gonna be okay. Say it. You're gonna be okay. Are you a doctor?
Harvey Keitel is great. Great
that
actor.
That is great.
Anyway, do I think he's gonna be okay with that? No. However,
it's gonna be okay.
However, think about the irony if they put it up to a vote. Remember how Naito was cheated out of his main event, and ultimately at Wrestle Kingdom 8. The main event ended up being Tanahashi versus Nakamura for the IC title. Think about how ironic it would be if they put that up to a vote and the fans voted on Naito versus Tanahashi for the IC title at Wrestle Kingdom. I can honestly see that happening.
And they fuck over Kenny Omega?
Yeah.
So you're saying no Kenny Omega Okada at the Dome?
Well, if they don't, again, let's say that Goto actually beats him, and we're getting Goto versus Okada at the Dome in, like, the semi-main event. I don't know what you do with Kenny Omega then, truth be told.
All right, let's lay it out in the line, because I think that we got, like, a lot of our listeners ready to drive their car into the wall, right? Are you going on the record, Colin Miller, as saying Hirooki Goto wins this match and wins the briefcase and goes on to headline the Tokyo Dome semi-main event?
Yeah,
main
semi.
Event, whatever. You're saying this happens here at King of Pro Wrestling.
Do you want me to go out on a limb and kind of stick my neck out?
I want you to do what you honestly feel. Don't just be radio shtick. Don't do what you feel is going to happen. Tell me. Tell me why ain't nothing but a fucking.
Get in sync. Anyway.
Backstreet Boys.
Oh, okay. Same difference. Logically, no. I think that we're getting Kenny Omega versus Okada at the Dome. However, I am sticking with the idea of Naito versus Tanahashi being the main event. Because even though, you know, in storyline, Okada finally defeated his arch nemesis Tanahashi and solidified himself as the new ace of New Japan. Let's be honest. Who's the top star in New Japan right now, Damon?
Damon McDonald. Hiroshi Tanahashi.
It's sorry. Tanahashi. And yes. I think it's kind of become a tradition, you know, for that to have that feel-good moment with Tanahashi closing out the biggest show of the year. So that I do think that that's where they're going to go. And again, I think it would play into a storyline that is like 4 years in the making or whatever, with Naito, you know, being cheated out of his main event spot by a vote. How ironic would it be if he got his main event spot finally by a vote? And I think that the fans would vote to see that match in the main event, Naito versus Tanahashi over Okada Omega.
Okay.
I really do.
All right. A lot of things would have to fall into place there for this to happen.
Would you have a problem with that? You know you want to see Tanahashi close the dome. You know you want to see that. Come on.
I would prefer a Okada Omega Tanahashi Naito. Who would I prefer to close the show? I'm going to be honest with you. It don't really matter to me. Doesn't matter to me. Given this scenario, this doesn't matter to me. I personally, truth be told, I think it should be Okada Omega. I think the champion, I think the IWGP Heavyweight Championship should close the show. That's just my opinion. But I think there's a lot of truth to what you say in the sense that I wouldn't be surprised if it was left to a fan vote, that it would be switched, you know, would be flip flopped. But I think the logic is what's going to happen. I think the logic is what's going to happen. For the record, I don't think Goto wins the briefcase.
No, I don't think Goto is going to win the briefcase either. Again, I think that we both want to see that Goto Ishii tag team. I think that's where they're probably going to go with this, and I think that we, you know, I think that this will be a great match. But you know, again, it's just I feel bad for Goto, you know, having to do the JOB once again here and
put over the superstar heel.
Yep,
that's your job. All right.
All right, and finally, main event for King of Pro Wrestling for the IWGP Heavyweight title. We've got the champion, Kazuchika Okada, defending against the challenger, Naomichi Marufuji.
Well, I think we were all excited from the G1, right? I think everyone was pumped up at the idea of this match. I'll tell you what. This will be, and I'm going to go out, I don't think much of a limb, but I think this will be a match of the year contender.
And that's right? Saying something, because I think a lot of people consider their G1 match to be a match of the year contender.
I think on a big stage, big spotlight, especially for Marufuji, who, truth be told, I feel is really, really, really wasted down in Noah. Just... he's wrestling in front of one of the bigger crowds he's going to wrestle in front of all year.
God, I think Noah's last house at Korakuen was like 850 or something.
They're hurting, man. They're hurting. I'm going to be truthful, too. I can't sit through their shows. Like, the shows are just, like, the things that we talk about with the interference and shenanigans. And, man, you think fucking Bullet Club and Los Ingobernables is bad. Fucking Suzuki-gun. Good Lord. All right. So, yeah, I think this is going to be an outstanding match. I'm really looking forward to this. On my scale, I'm going to give it a solid 8 or 9. Definitely looking forward to it. I do not think there will be any title changes. I think this will be Marufuji lying down.
That's what I was going to ask you. Do you think that any of the drama is taken out of this match, considering the obvious outcome?
Yes. Yeah, I would say that in any situation where I feel like the finish is, not the finish, but the winner is a little bit obvious. I think it hurts the match, but I still think that the two guys in the ring are so talented that it'll make up for that shortcoming.
Alrighty, so there you have it, ladies and gents. That is your King of Pro Wrestling card, again, taking place on Monday, October 10th, and... truth be told, our review for this show may come, you know, a little bit
later. Next week.
Considering
the next week. I mean, it's probably going to be the next week.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it is. It's probably going to be that following Sunday because, again, you know, the show's taking place on a Monday. You know, we both, you know, work 9-to-5 schedules. It's going to be hard for us to, you know, find the time to put aside to get together to, you know, not only watch the show, but, you know, hop on here. Record it, so you know we're probably the review for this is probably going to come the following Sunday. We just want to be open with our listeners, you know, as we pride ourselves on being. But up next on the program you're listening to right now, we thought we'd have a little fun and introduce a new segment, if you will, that was the brainchild of one Damon McDonald, and it's called 10 Questions with Colin Miller.
10 questions with Colin Miller. Let's get a sounder. Pew, pew, pew. 10 questions. Because here's the thing. There are some of these things that I have questions on with when it comes to Colin. And I just think it's just an interesting take. I think there's more people that are in Colin's, I don't want to say wheelhouse, but more people that have very similar reference points and frames of mind and that kind of stuff. And it's just more something just to kind of spark discussion, I thought, would be a fun idea. Something interesting, and just to learn a little bit more about what you guys like and how you guys watch the product and all that kind of fun stuff. So let me start off. Some of these questions are maybe a little bit goofy, and again, things a little bit outside, but and it's more opinion pieces, so it's not, you know, anything hardcore. But again, just a little something. So again, question number one, Colin Miller, if you would be so kind, given an unlimited amount of time, let's just say you had all the time in the fucking world, free time.
Okay.
Which I know this is something that you don't have, but and an unlimited amount of Adderall.
I don't touch that stuff.
Okay, well, that's good. Unless it's medically needed. What time period? Give me a time period that you would like to go and watch. Like if you could watch, binge watch a certain time period of New Japan Pro Wrestling. What haven't you watched before that you hear maybe others talk about or you hear about and you're like, oh, I really like to sink my teeth into that, but I just can't find the time or I just don't have the patience to sit through the whole thing.
I guess to give you my quick, rapid-fire, candid response, I'd probably go back to that 90s heyday where you know the you had the juniors, you know, doing their thing, and yeah, I guess probably the 90s.
Okay, so the Muda, the Chonos, the Hashimoto's, that is a good time. I mean, that is a real good. I actually like it right before the that boom period. Right, so right before that, so like you had like Chono and Hashimoto as his young little rookie tag team, and Muda coming back from NWA tours, and yeah, okay, that's a good time. I'll tell you what, if you really want my opinion on this, even though this is 10 questions with Colin,
this isn't your segment, Damon. Don't try and turn it into.
I am
all about,
you know,
Damon.
You know what I really think you would enjoy?
What's that?
I think that you, and more than that, I'm going to give you my recommendation on checking out, and you might be like, wow, really? New Japan, 2000s.
2000s?
Yeah, huh. Hear me out. It was, or late 90s, 2000s.
Those are considered dark periods, are they not?
To a certain degree. But it's craziness. Like, it was literally like a Nitro. You know, like it was they were like Nitros with the whole NWO faction Japan, the crazy shit with Chono and Onita. Like I was just rewatching a lot of Don Fry. It was like watching Nitros to me. I got that feel. It was that the crowds were, they weren't as big as they were in the 90s, but I don't know, it just seemed a little bit more rabid. I think that, like, when I'm watching this, I'm like, this is fucking Colin Miller wheelhouse kind of bullshit.
Wow.
Like, this, yeah, I don't know why, but, and the juniors were, you know, you had Liger, Otani, Kanemaru. It was just a good, I don't know. I would recommend that. Take a swig of that. That might be for you. All right. Question number two, Colin. I'm only going to do five, because if we do 10, we'll be here till Tuesday. So change the subjects, change the bit name to five questions with Colin
Miller.
Pling, pling. Ping, pong, pong. All right. I answered this question, I think. I didn't really hear your answer. So I'm going to ask it to you again. What do you think New Japan has to do to become – well, first of all –
it's like a UFO just landed in your backyard.
It's a motorcycle that just went by. We're attacked by aliens. First of all, do you see New Japan becoming more or less popular in 2017 than it currently is now and even last year? Do you see growth or do you see stagnation or do you see a drop in popularity?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I think right now, I hate to say it, we're in a bit of a stagnant period.
Okay.
I'd love to say that I'm optimistic for 2017 and there's going to be, you know, this big boom, so to speak, but I don't know. If I'm being perfectly honest with you, my thoughts right now are it's either going to remain the way it is, just kind of stagnant, or it's going to, you know, kind of become even less hot.
Okay. If you could put your finger on one thing. And again, let's focus on the Japanese audience, even though we can't speak of the Japanese audience, because again, coming into the United States, well, I'll leave the door open. What do you think is the most important thing, the number one most important thing that New Japan can do to attract themselves to a new audience?
Create new stars. Create stars on the level of Nakamura and AJ Styles.
But those people don't grow on trees.
I know. And that's the problem.
I think also a big problem is that their developmental system is lacking, right? They don't have a great developmental system.
No.
As it stands right now. Now, I say that, you know, talking about Jay White and talking about the young Lions that are there in Mexico and Ring of Honor and Kama Itachi as well. And, you know, so they do produce these crops. I don't know. I can't say where they're going to be in 5 years, but with those guys being next level stars, right? But I don't know if I feel that those guys are next level stars. Like, I don't see those guys being bigger than Nakamura's and Tanahashi's as it stands right now. I just don't see it. They're great talents, but I don't know if they're that kind of talent right now. And again, they're young and they can grow, and who knows? And I'm sure I probably said the same thing about Tanahashi and Nakamura, you know, before the boom.
Right. And those guys, to be fair, are once in a generation talents. Guys like,
right,
Nakamura and Tanahashi and even Okada.
So where do you get those once in a generation talents, right? You have to be able to, if you're not the developmental, like WWE, even though they do a piss poor job of making their own stars, let's be honest, they poach elsewhere and you know, they're already stars. New Japan's kind of got to get that mindset to me. To me, and unfortunately, that means you're going to be hurting other people and other promotions if you start poaching big stars, right?
Sure.
But they kind of have to do that. I feel like they kind of have to do that.
Where do you think they go?
I mean, if
America?
That's asking a lot. There's a big difference between someone from Japan ripping up their live and going to the United States as opposed to a named talent going to Japan and living there. Like, there's for every Nakamura and Kenta and Asuka and
possibly Ibushi.
Possibly Ibushi and Akira Tozawa. There's not many Juice Robinsons, right? That are going to rip up their life and go and do that and still have that big name and impact the gate for New Japan. I don't know if there's anybody in Japan that could be on that level, right? Because if they were on that level, they'd already be there in my mind, right?
Yeah.
That's not to say that there aren't great wrestlers in other promotions. I mean, we can go down the list of all Japan guys that are great talents, big Japan guys that are big talents. But I don't know if it would make the difference as making those big stars. So that's a concern. They don't really have a system right now that's in place that are churning out big stars. Right?
I will say this. I think that they have done an excellent job with Kenny Omega. But with that being said, at least to my eyes, he's still no AJ Styles. He's not.
Okay. I think he's just different. You know what I mean? I think it's different. I think talent-wise, he's there. I think some of that is sometimes he's hard to take serious, right?
Yeah.
It's the same arguments we've had throughout the entire year, that when he's serious, he's great. When he's not, when he's goofy, when he's that enigma, he's not for everybody. He's not everybody's taste. Whereas AJ is a little bit more easily digestible for every audience. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's hard to create those kind of stars, and it took. And it's not like they just, you know, Nakamura and Okada and Tanahashi just showed up, you know, and they were stars. It took years for them to be stars. There were a few reboots on Nakamura, right?
Yeah,
it's not like Nakamura came in and he fucking lit the world on fire. He lit the world on fire for maybe 3 or 4 years, right? And then he got super hot and left. They don't grow in trees, man. They don't grow in trees. All right. So that's that. Make new stars. How that's done, Colin, I don't know.
I don't have the answer either. Wish I did.
All right. A little goofy one. Zombie apocalypse. You get to choose 3 New Japan Pro wrestlers to help you fight off and have the human civilization continue. What 3 wrestlers you picking?
All righty. Well, I think I'm going to choose Kenny Omega, number one.
Why Kenny Omega?
Kenny, he is the leader of the Bullet Club, so I feel like he stocks up ammunition somewhere,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, I don't know. I feel like he would be good with the weaponry.
Okay. All right. I think you're dead, by the way. you're gonna be eaten alive.
I have to throw in Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Well, okay, why is that?
He's the ace, Damon. Right, I mean, so if there's anyone
that comes out smelling like a rose, it's gonna be Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Yes.
All right, you need that.
If there's anyone
car.
Who can save the human race.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. And then lastly.
Tomohiro Ishii, because he would just chop the shit out of them. He would,
right, and he ain't stopping until he's dead.
Right.
All right, that's a good pick. I would agree with that one. I was surprised you didn't say Takahashi.
No, I feel like his mind wouldn't be in the right place, right. If you know what I mean.
That's a good thing. Maybe he'd, you know, you'd have a few of his ladies behind. Yeah. You can help repopulate, if you will.
Well, yeah. There is
okay.
that.
All right, so there's Tanahashi, Omega, and Ishii.
Yes.
All right, you're dead. All right, and lastly, it's a two-parter, Colin. I'm putting you on the spot.
Okay.
What is the best thing about doing the New Japan PureCast, and what is the worst thing about doing the New Japan PureCast?
The best thing about doing the New Japan PureCast is getting to talk to my good buddy Damon McDonald every single Sunday. And the worst thing about doing the New Japan PureCast is getting to talk to my good buddy Damon McDonald every Sunday.
All right, we'll leave it at that. All right, so that's five questions with Colin Miller, everyone. Very good. Everyone. And please chime in on social media, and Colin will answer because I don't really give a shit. All right, very good. Where are we? We're wrapping up. We good? We're done?
Yeah, I believe we're wrapping up for this week. Are we doing this five-question gimmick again next week?
I don't know. Maybe if I could come up with five more questions. Yeah, sure.
Well, you had five ones that I didn't answer yet, so.
No, I didn't.
All right.
we'll figure that out. We'll see what we can do. I'm sure
it was a lot
of
fun, though.
Good. Well, I hope the listeners enjoyed it as well. If they did, the positive feedback is there, then maybe we'll do this.
Good
again.
Idea on your part, Damon. I like
Thanks.
It.
Thanks. All right. Very
creative.
Good.
All right. Well, that about does it for today's show. Again, once again, we don't know if this Road 2 show is going to be on the world. That's happening on October 8th, Saturday. If it is, you can rest assured that we will be reviewing that next weekend. We are going to be back next weekend, though, regardless, you know, to record another show. But once again,
no Eagles. Right. So we're good.
Yeah, no Eagles. We're good. We will be back next weekend to record another show. Our King of Pro Wrestling review, like I said earlier, that is probably, well, definitely not going to happen until, you know, the following Sunday, just because of work schedules and whatnot and the show taking place on a Monday. But we will be doing it, nevertheless.
Yeah, we will. It'll be there. It'll be a little old, a little dusty, but yeah, we'll get it to you that week.
So, Damon, any final words to wrap up for today?
Real quick, I know the young ladies are still, again, my people in Australia. That's coming right around the corner. We're working on a location. Actually, working on a location. Again, I don't think it's going to be anything official, right? It's not going to be anything where it's like I'm renting out a hall and I need RSVPs and all that horseshit. But it's coming closer, kids. So, again, mark it off. Next week, I'll have an official date for both Sydney and Melbourne. So, again, if you're in the areas, please stop by. Don't make me look like a fool. And we'll have a couple beers.
Well, you're going to look like a fool regardless.
Oh, you got that right. You can say that again.
You're going to Bali, right?
And then, yeah, we're going to Sydney for 2 days. And then we're going to Melbourne for, I think, a week. And then we pop from Melbourne. I don't know why I say Melbourne, like I'm Ringo Starr. To Bali. Yeah, then we hop over to
Peace
Bali.
And love. Peace and love.
We got an Airbnb. Oh, we have a chef.
Wow.
We have a chef. Colin, we have a chef. We are hiring a bartender. So we're going to have a bartender at this house that has this pool and outdoor. The house is unbelievable. Yeah, so we got that whole nine yards, and it's everything's. We got a bartender, we got a chef. What else do we have? A couple other things.
Masseuse.
Yeah, oh, dude, the masseuse is. Let me tell you something. Like a 90, so like in any major metropolitan city, a 90-minute massage is easily you're dropping two bills, right? You're dropping $200.
Sure.
90 minutes. Give me a number. 90-minute massage. Give me a price.
In Australia?
In Bali.
In Bali. I'm going to say it's cheap. I'm going to say it's like $100.
$30.
Wow.
Colin, I actually even think it's a little bit less than that. I'm just going to have massages. They're going to be like hung on to me. They're just. I'm going to be walking around with four people hung on my back the entire week, just massaging me. Yeah. It's unbelievable. And these resorts are like, you know, this is not like a back alley massage parlor, if you know what I'm saying. these are legit spas.
Sure.
Where you're getting you can take a bath in rose petals.
You can get a Hiroki Goto done.
I hope so. I need a little Hiroki Goto action. My feet are getting a little mangly. So again, for my people in Australia, it's coming soon. Next week, I'll have a definitive date for both times, locales, the whole kit and caboodle. And we'll make it happen. So again, I'm looking forward to this trip. Let's see if we can do a little pro wrestling talk as well.
Oh, well.
I'm bringing stuff. I'm bringing signed stuff. I'm bringing signed stuff that I know that you people don't have because they never come down there and there's no signings. So maybe a little Tanahashi autographed 8x10. Hmm. A little Honma t-shirt autographed. Hmm. So to make it worth your while to come by if you're a fan. All right. So that's that. Well, next week we'll have dates.
If I can make a Ricky Nelson reference, you are a traveling man, Damon.
I tell you what, this is going to be a crazy couple months, man. I got this gimmick, and then again the dome. Know what I bought online? I bought United Airlines lounge passes for both Narita and Newark, so I can hang out in the lounge, and they give you free food and everything, and Wi-Fi, and all to sit with the common people.
If there's free food, you're there. I know that about you.
Fucking got that right. Oh, and I just upgraded my flight, too.
Of course you did.
Exit row, brother. Exit row to Japan.
Nice.
Yeah, get to stretch out my fat ass. I feel sorry for the people who got to sit next to me. Because trust me, I'm using every fucking inch of that seat.
I feel sorry for them already.
Tough shit. All right, wrap it up, champ.
Alrighty, well, we just want to thank all of our great listeners once again for tuning in each and every week. Remember, you can listen to these episodes first and foremost before anybody else if you go to newjapanpurocast.com. I usually try and get them up on a Sunday evening. And links to Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, Stitcher, our RSS feed, everything is right there. And you can also listen to us on the great Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Just visit voicesofwrestling.com. They usually have our shows up on a Monday afternoon. So on that note, we're going to be back here next week talking, hopefully reviewing a Road 2 show. And if not, we'll find something.
12 questions with Colin Miller.
50 questions with Colin Miller. We'll find something fun to do. So for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. We'll catch you guys next week. Have a good one.